1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The Pentagon announcing a tactical move. More military might on the way to the Middle East.
The Pentagon moving a guided missile submarine, the USS Georgia, to the Middle East. The location of that sub, armed with cruise missiles, normally top secret. And by also speeding up the redeployment of an additional aircraft carrier to the region, the US upping its message of deterrence, telling Iran and its proxies to back down.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. A big accusation in the race for the White House. Former President Trump attacking his rival, Democrat Kamala Harris. She rallied last night in her hometown of San Francisco, California, and touted no taxes on tips for service workers. Trump says Harris stole one of his campaign promises. The city of Uvalde, Texas, has released a batch of files from the 2022 Robb Elementary School massacre, including police text messages and videos from that deadly day, most of it confirming that the police response was full of confusion, chaos, and a deadly delay. 19 students and two teachers killed. This is ABC News. Investigators in Brazil still trying to figure out why a plane crashed there last week, killing dozens of people. ABC News transportation correspondent Gio Benitez.
Over the weekend, the families of the 62 people who died in that plane crash in Sao Paulo gathering together just hours after investigators recovered the black boxes. The big question now, how did it happen? The plane itself was not that old. It flew about 14 years. Some experts wonder if ice could have built up on the wings. Brazilian officials had been warning of severe icing in the area.
Among those killed, a 3-year-old child and 8 doctors. Jury selection later today in the murder trial of a former Las Vegas area politician accused of killing a reporter. Robert Tellis has been the subject of several articles written by Jeff Gehrman. Firefighters in Greece trying to get a wildfire under control, burning on the northern edge of Athens. A children's hospital and a military hospital have both been evacuated. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
During life's most trying times, it helps to have someone with experience and understanding at your side. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory has attentive staff in De Pere, available 24 hours a day, and nearly 100 years of business experience, which can provide comfort during those difficult times. Call them at 920-336-3171 or visit them at ryanfh.com. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory, local people serving local families since 1926.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Help is on the way for Rock County homeowners affected by storm damage. The Rock County Board approved $1 million in emergency relief on Thursday. The money comes from the American Relief Act, which was part of the COVID pandemic response. Northeast Wisconsin Democrats are urging a no vote on Tuesday's constitutional amendment ballot questions. Lisa Hale reports.
8th Congressional District candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley said the amendments would take federal fund distribution away from the governor's office and put it in the hands of the legislature.
This Republican-led legislature is the least effective, the least responsive legislature in decades. And they want the reins in the case of an emergency?
Lierley pointed to the legislature's delay in distributing PFAS cleanup funds as an example.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pack is back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Browns 23-10 over the weekend. At halftime, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley challenged his players they needed to make a turnover in the second half. Rookie safety Evan Williams, out of Oregon, did just that, coming up with a forced fumble early in the third quarter.
Yeah, it felt great. Really just play fast, use our instincts, and yeah, just fly around. I mean, that's what I had the most fun with today. I felt like fly around, and you know, and coach always preaches that. Just the jobs aren't that difficult. Run to the ball and just do your job, we're going to be successful.
Baseball. The Brewers open an important series tonight against the Dodgers. LA in first place in the NL West. The Brewers losing 4-3 to the Reds Sunday. But D.L. Hall was back on the mound. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think since he's been a starting pitcher, I think he's become more of a complete pitcher, and that's kind of cool. He's really become a pitcher.
Now, if the Brewers just go 500 for the rest of the schedule, they would finish with 90 wins this season. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today. Highs near 81. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. For tonight, slight chance of a storm. Lows around 59. A sprinkle or a light shower on Tuesday. Otherwise, sunshine. 83 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, and we'll have highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll get you caught up on the weekend news and look ahead to the Tuesday primary day in Wisconsin. Be a voter. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. Got a text for the Brown County Fair Demo Derby. Is this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock?
All right.
That'd be a fun thing to go to. Boy, a lot of going on that day, though. Cholesterol Fest and a Demolition Derby. That's not bad. That's a full day right there. We're being joined right now by Mario Gonzalez from Wello. Yield to your neighbor and Kubota Hometown Proud. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. You nailed it.
Good morning, Mario. Hey, we're having a good time here talking before we went on the air. You used to be a sports TV sportscaster.
Yep. So my background is a television reporter, so did a little bit of everything from, you know, when you put on the morning news and you see that reporter out there in the middle of a storm during an ice storm and they're like, hey, it's dangerous out here. I used to do that. And then there'd be other times where it's like, hey, it's Friday night football. You're driving up, you know, 40 miles to
absolutely
go get 10 seconds of game clip.
The only you're praying for the whole time you're there, please have a touchdown quick.
Yes. Yep.
Please.
Let me get my two highlights so
and
I
then
can
boom,
haul it back.
Get out of there. So where'd you go to college?
University of Illinois. So I am born and raised. Yes. Born and raised in Chicago. My wife's from the Manitowoc area, and she brought me up here. And
what high
here.
School did she go to?
So she was Valders.
Oh.
She went to Valders. So.
Okay, Valders Vikings. There you
yes,
go.
Yes, and I've been here over
some of your big rivals
decade.
Are, Jim, at Rock right. Valley and Two Rivers.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, not Ron Collie. You guys were all private schools back then.
No, we didn't.
Yes.
Elders.
Well, Mario, you're doing great things for the community. And Jim, you're a big backer of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you started off as an organization with health initiatives. And it was Live 5 for 218, five servings of this, two of that, one of that. And that's transcended to Wello.
Yep.
Which you rebranded, still same mission statement.
Yep.
When you talk about health initiatives, people sometimes think it's all in dietary, but it's so much more than that. You know, infrastructure, sidewalks, trails, all that. And you're doing something. You got a new campaign kicking off here, this really yield to your neighbor. And if you want people out walking and biking, we got to kind of treat them a little bit with respect. So tell us about some of your initiatives here.
Sure. Well, and like you said, Jim, you know, part of being healthy, being well, it's more than just physically what we eat. It also is the ability to just move and get about throughout the community, whether that is for exercise reasons, recreation reasons, or, you know, if that's your main form of transportation to get to work. And if people don't feel safe, you're not going to walk, you're not going to bike. I mean, I think how many times if, you know, you go to a doctor's appointment and your doctor might say, hey, you know, we're seeing an issue with this, but simple solution, let's just get you out walking. If you don't feel comfortable walking in your community, it's kind of hard to do that.
So I met the head of I shared a cab with him, the top doctor. What's the top doctor called in the United States?
Surgeon General.
Surgeon General. And we were I was
remember
at a conference.
Remember Cope or Cop, whatever, with the big beard?
Yeah,
remember
no, him? It wasn't this guy. It was the guy after. Yeah.
Okay.
But that guy, and he just said that if he could write one prescription, it would be to walk 30 minutes a day.
Yes.
I mean, that's just a guy who oversees the health of the United States. So,
and you think about how easy that is, where it's not like, oh, you have a financial cost of paying for a gym membership. Right. It's not, you know, having to buy equipment. It's literally getting out and walking.
But it's got to be safe. And that's what your initiative's all about.
Yep. So with the Yield to Your Neighbor campaign, it actually came about because every 2 years, Wello does a survey for Brown County residents 18 years and older. And one of the questions on there is an open-ended question that just asks, what one thing would improve the health and well-being of your community? And one of the themes that we've seen in all 3 years that we've administered the survey is people riding around bike and pedestrian safety, whether it's, I don't feel comfortable having my kids walk to school on their own, or, you know, I personally don't feel safe trying to ride my bike. So really, it came from this community outcry for, hey, we want to be able to walk and bike, but we know it might not be safe. So the Yield to Your Neighbor campaign was created to really promote one simple action that could help address that: yield. If we can just get people to slow down, it makes it so much safer for not only pedestrians and bicyclists, but also for motorists. Because when you have crashes that involve bicyclists and pedestrians, it's not like that person jumped in their car wanting to get into that situation. So it not only makes it safer for the people that are walking and biking, but also for the motorists, because if we're just traveling at slower speeds, it's easier to see everyone and be aware of what's going on around us.
So what is this a 2 week thing, or tell me about it? And then how do you promote it? Is it on the radio like it is now? But I mean, is there signs up or is there?
So what's been really exciting is when we first started the campaign, it was really just doing YouTube stories of people sharing why they yield to your neighbor. And then what was really exciting is actually as of August 1st, just a couple of weeks ago, we actually wrapped a Green Bay Metro bus with the Yield to Your Neighbor logo slapped all over that. So that's now traveling throughout the city. We're going to have that contract going for 6 months. So that'll actually go into January of next year.
Oh.
And this is going to be going across all the routes that Green Bay Metro goes. So hopefully we're going to get one of those preseason or regular season Packer games and just get thousands of people to see that message. So, because really the goal is the next time you're driving in the, you know, you're in your car and you see a pedestrian in the crosswalk, maybe that Yield to Your Neighbor, maybe that just clicks and goes, oh, wait, I'm supposed to slow down so this person can cross.
That's almost a cultural thing, because I lived out in L.A. for, I don't know, 8-9 years, and they really yield out there. Yes. I mean, you step off the curb, and the cars really stop. And everybody would think it's crazy out there.
I would think it was just the opposite.
Totally. But, it is.
Like you said, it's cultural.
And they're known for that. And then, of course, you're in the East Coast, it's, you know, every man for themselves. But I don't know. It's just
Chicago is kind of every man.
Sure. So. Yeah. And to your point, it is culture. I mean, you think about here locally in Rosendale. Do you speed in Rosendale? No.
Not anymore.
That's Todd's hometown.
Like, you know that if you're going a mile over the speed limit there, you're going to get pulled over.
Right.
And when you have that mentality across the entire community, and I mean, here state, it's known, you know, that's really what makes that change.
But with that said, Mario, I mean, people need to respect the vehicles too.
Yes.
Like, they can't walk against a walk light.
Correct.
It's like, come on, just, you know, I'll yield for you if you got a walk signal. But, you know, I got a green light and you're walking in front of me. That's not fair game either.
A couple things from the pedestrian's end is if you're at a crosswalk, you need to make it known that you are going to cross. So if you're standing 3 feet away from the crosswalk, legally, according to the law, a vehicle does not have to stop or slow down for you because you have not made yourself a pedestrian. So
Say that again.
So essentially the way this Wisconsin state statute reads is once you've put your foot in the crosswalk, you are now legally a pedestrian. So if you are just standing off to the side as a vehicle, you do not have to. And then you also have issues where someone's standing off to the side looking down at their phone. Again, as a motorist, the expectation can't be, I need to slow down because this person that's looking down is trying to cross. So I think as pedestrians, it's always using crosswalks when you can. So it's not, and it's, you know, following signals. So you're not walking, you know, when it's green. And then the other thing, too, is when you talk about mid-block crossing, jaywalking. So in Wisconsin, you are allowed to cross mid-block. But in that case, then the pedestrian has to yield to the motorist.
Okay, I got to tell you something. This happened to me just very, very recently, right out here at Walnut. Okay, Walnut, Washington. And there are these three people standing like they were going to cross the street over to the Daily Buzz and Wooder, And the thing was green for the, you know, and I want to make a right-hand turn up Walnut.
Yeah, you got to wait.
And they're not going. And they're not. And you're right. They kind of looked at their phone. And like, what do you, I mean, do you honk? And you just,
Yeah. So literally, so you had the right because they did not cross. And that goes back to when we talk about really bike and pedestrian safety. every person has a role. So I think a lot of times we feel like, oh, this is an attack on motorists. No, it's motorists have a part to play, but so do bicyclists and pedestrians. So as a bicyclist in Wisconsin, you are recognized as a vehicle. So technically, when you are riding your bike, you should be, if you wouldn't do it in your car, you shouldn't do it on your bike. So again, this is, everyone's got a role to play. And again, yeah, as pedestrians, we've got to be better too, where when we're supposed to walk, we're fully aware that we're walking, you know, try to make eye contact with the driver, you know, get out in the,
put your phone down.
Yeah. Make it known that I intend to cross. And again, when everyone's doing predictable behavior, then it ends up being safer because we all know what's expected of each of us.
Okay, another question for you though. And because I will say this, people are, have been really good about this down the road here a little bit on the other side of, I don't know whatever that short street is that Bosses used to be on.
Yeah. Cherry.
Okay. There's a crosswalk, but no signs. Okay.
Okay.
If you walk up to that, are the cars legally required to stop? If
yes.
You were,
okay. So when you say there's not a crosswalk, meaning there's no painted lines?
No, there's painted lines, okay. But there's no stop.
Yes.
There's no signals. Yeah. That's the word.
So as long as there is a crosswalk, whether marked or unmarked. So essentially, even if there are two, if you see curb ramps, that is legally a crosswalk. Even if there isn't painted lines, the law still would apply there.
Wow.
The law would still apply there. So whether there's a sign that says yield to the pedestrian or there's a, you know, some sort of traffic control signal, regardless, the way Wisconsin law reads. And also, too, one of the biggest issues that could make this community so much safer is half of the states in the U.S. are yield states. Half of the states are stop states. So when the pedestrian is in and you have a stop state, there is no, oh, I just need to slow down enough to let it is you come to a complete stop. That makes it safer, not only for the driver, because there's none of this kind of like, oh, well, maybe I can just inch past them, get past them quickly. And then also for the pedestrian, you see that vehicle completely stop, you're going to feel confident going into the crosswalk. There's not a doubt in your mind that, oh, that vehicle might continue.
So what are we?
We are a yield state.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm
interesting.
Okay. I'm okay with what I'm doing. Yeah. Get moving.
I told you
that. Sometimes I think they walk a little slow to kind of make me mad. I do, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I told you at night I was crossing up here and it wasn't the crosswalk. It was going to cross. And so that's why we have crosswalks, bleep, bleep.
And he's right because in that case, the vehicle had the right of way.
Yes.
No question. I was in the wrong.
Yep. Yeah.
I know Peter
Fluke. That's
Fluky.
Why I just apologized to him.
Yeah.
Right. I know Peter Fluke
with that one finger wave.
I know Peter Fluke is a fan of a friend of the show and, you know, so much that I've learned from him. But really, yeah, when we talk about crosswalks, why are they there? Well, one, it's to tell pedestrians this is the safest place to cross. And then two, to notify drivers, where should I be looking for people?
Right. See, I've never lived in like a downtown before. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed you always had to wait for the car. And a few times here when it's like, wow, is that person ever polite? I had no idea that was the law. Honest to God, up until like a couple, I'm just learning that right now.
And that's also the sad part too, that it happens that rarely that the vehicle actually does yield to the pedestrian. And I think there's been times where I've done it as a driver too, where I yield and then you kind of see the reaction from the person crossing.
Like, wow, like, thank you.
This is shocking.
Yes.
Like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do.
I'll be damned.
As a driver, you've got to be a car stopping. You don't want to rear end a car either. I mean, you got to be careful because people stop. And it's like, what is this guy doing? Mm-mm. And then you look and there's somebody crossing. Yep. So, not that I would ever beat my horn.
Hi, Todd. The city is having a dedication ceremony for the crosswalk that was added near Cranky Pats and Bellevue Street on Thursday morning.
Isn't that sad?
Dedicated to Judy Sisler, who was killed on Valentine's Day. I came in to talk about it a couple of months ago. Thanks to the city of Green Bay for the cooperation. Yeah. Thanks to you guys also, Scotty B.
Well, Scotty, that is, and what a sad story that was. Her and her husband out on Valentine's Day just crossing the street. But that, you know.
It's a bad little area.
They need that.
It's
dark. The municipalities, I mean, you talk about the pedestrian and the driver. The municipalities have a role in this, too.
Engineering plays a huge part. How
big
we design our roles is big.
Yeah.
All right. Can we keep you for one more here? All right. We'll be back. This is fascinating stuff. I'm learning stuff here. This is cool. Mario Gonzalez from Wello, Yield to Your Neighbor. Back right after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It may be one of the prettiest fair sites in the state, and Brown County has hosted its historic fair along the riverfront in West De Pere for more than 165 years. The theme is a little something for everyone, and they're not kidding. There's a demolition derby, a professional rodeo competition, horse, truck, and tractor pulls, special shows just for the kids, nightly live music, exhibits including everything from animals to antiques, photography to woodworking, rooster crowing contest, games, rides, homemade wine and beer judging, and food. Lots of food. Oh, your admission price, including parking, rides, and all the events. How about that? Fairgrounds open at 8 a.m. Carnival area gets going after 11, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It all shuts down at 10:30, 11:30 on weekend nights. The Brown County Fair runs Wednesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 18th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mano the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning with Mario Gonzalez from Wello. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guest? Say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Get zero interest up to 3 years with no money down and equal payments. Hurry up. It ends on the 31st. Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com today. We had Ben and Deanna Malcor on last week talking about the different things you can do that you get. Was it ROI? Return on your investment.
Yep.
Windows and doors.
That's it.
Phenomenal.
Number one thing. Number one thing. Talk about kitchens, bathrooms, everything else.
Yep.
A great front door to welcome your guests and
absolutely
save a lot of energy on windows.
Mario, this is really interesting stuff.
Mario, talk us a little bit more about, so you got this crosswalk education enforcement, the Frogger events.
Yep.
So and what? Why Frogger? That's
so the name actually came from the, you know, super popular 80s, early 90s video game Frogger, where as the frog, you had to try to get across traffic without being hit by a vehicle. So that's where the concept came from. So
much I played video games. Okay. That's where
Too, I think I've gotten to this point now where I've kind of feel like, oh, I'm now like an older person.
Yeah.
I was presenting to UWGB a couple years ago and I said the Frogger game, and you could tell not a single kid in that class knew what I was talking about.
The last time I played a video game was Pac-Man. Okay. I'm not even lying. I'm not kidding. I've never played a video game since then.
Frogger.
I used to love Pong.
Oh my God, John. That is like when it's, that was the first game.
Atari.
Yeah.
Wow. So Frogger is the frog game, crossing the street. Your whole campaign is around safe crossing. So tell me about how you elevated that from frogs to police officers.
Sure. So the way it works is we've partnered with local law enforcement. So the first year we started with just Green Bay and De Pere. Now this year we're going to be adding our seventh law enforcement department. UWGB is actually going to host an event on campus. And what we do is we pick 3 dates throughout the summer. And on those 3 dates, all 7 participating law enforcement departments run Frogger operations. So the way they work is there is an officer who is going to act as the pedestrian and will be crossing back and forth through the crosswalk. And then on the intersection that does
so
not have
any... So he's just wearing street clothes. He's not a cop.
They are actually in uniform.
Oh, he's in uniform. Okay.
They're usually, and most of the time, too, they're also wearing like the high-vis yellow vest.
Oh, all right,
cool. So they are very visible to motorists. And then on the side street, you will have 2 officers that are parked. And then what they will do is we set it up so that we give vehicles more than enough time to yield to that pedestrian. And in this case, the officer in the crosswalk. And what we'll do is if the vehicle fails to yield, then the officers that are parked, one of them will go pull the person over and then issue a warning. Now, it is up to the officer's discretion, though, if they want to give a citation, because we have had instances where it's been, you could clearly tell the vehicle was speeding and maybe came a little too close to their officer that they didn't want to just give them a warning. And also, too, with this, so again, we put cones. De Pere has a construction sign that says crosswalk enforcement ahead. And then about 100 feet later, you run into the crosswalk. So we're very, very transparent with this. At Wella, one of my roles with this is actually I push out a map that shows the locations and times about a week before the event happens. So we are telling people this is where we're going to be. This is what we're doing. Because the idea is even if someone is avoiding, if someone sees the map and is like, oh, I'm going to avoid this intersection, that's okay because we've now hit you with that message of, oh, we're doing pedestrian safety here.
Surprises me that you make it put a cop with a vest on. I mean, if you don't yield for that, I mean, a little bit of a. I would think you would just send a kid across or some, you know.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's very. I mean, plus you're giving out the warnings. You're obviously talking about it today on our show. Wow. So if somebody doesn't, I don't know if I'd give a warning.
And also, too, we are now going into our sixth year of this.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So I think, and again, you know, we promote this. We write about this in the Press Gazette. We'll get television coverage. So, again, we're very transparent. We even have people that get pulled over and they tell the officers, oh, yeah, I saw the map. Or like, yep. And so they know that they did something wrong and it's still happening. And again, and that goes back to the cultural.
Can I ask you, when this happened to me in Manitowoc, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going this way. See my little diagram
here? Yes,
I'm coming here and I'm making a left-hand turn down the road here, okay? So I'm in like here and somebody steps off and starts yelling at me. Hey, you almost hit me type thing.
Yeah.
But I'm already into my thing and he steps off.
In that case, you're not in the wrong because if you're not given enough time, it's the same thing as if someone were to dart out into traffic. Let's say, especially you look here at downtown, you're on Washington Street. If every parking spot's taken and you're driving down Washington Street and you as a pedestrian decide, I'm going to jump out between two parked vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way that you as the driver have enough time, nor could you see them. So, in that case, if you are already in the middle of your turn, the expectation cannot be.
And that's when he stepped
be,
up. It just starts yelling at me.
Yeah, it would hard. It's hard.
I do think, again, I'm on the pedestrian side and I like to walk, but sometimes you should, instead of jaywalking, you should walk down to the intersection. I mean, it's not that far.
Right.
And it's so much safer, especially with the schools.
I have to say this. I think it's funny because if it's somebody else getting the citation, Jim's all for it, but he.
You noticed that too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I thought it was funny when he said about Rosendale. I wanted to say, you should see what happened 20 miles south of Rosendale one night.
All right.
When somebody got two tickets in 4 minutes.
There was no pedestrian. I was safe.
Well, here's a good progress story, too, when you talk about two tickets in 20 minutes. So we've also had, because we do this countywide, so, I mean, we're everywhere in Denmark all the way to Pulaski and everywhere in between, and we'll have people who have gotten pulled over in the morning in, let's say, Denmark and given a warning, and then we're pulled over again that same day in De Pere. So in that case, the officer already saw you were given a warning this morning and you failed to do it again. I'm giving you a citation.
Okay, this second one happened so close to the first one that it wasn't in the system yet.
Yeah, right? They were still typing it up. And the ink hadn't dried yet.
Yes.
Anyway.
We thought when I saw the lights behind us, I go, uh-oh, did the guy give you back your driver's license? We thought it was the same guy and he forgot something.
And those towns, that's how they make their money. They shouldn't do that. Yeah, I know. It's constant. Whatever. All right. This awareness
pull
campaign.
Over. Yeah.
Okay, but
you're there when it comes to soccer fan, pull over.
But pedestrians. All right. So this is a real partnership here between the municipality, the pedestrian, and the driver.
Yes. Everyone's got
I love this awareness.
Yes. And that's what he's doing.
And kind of when we mentioned, too, I think right before we went to break, you mentioned about, like, you know, lights and even just like lighting for area to make people visible. So when we talk about pedestrian safety, like, yes, you know, enforcement is a big piece because as officers, they have the authority to write tickets when laws are being broken. But then that education piece is huge. So as a pedestrian, what are you supposed to be doing so that drivers know, hey, that, you know, when I see that pedestrian, they're going to step into the crosswalk. I know they are going to cross. As a bicyclist, I know what to expect from them. So everyone really has a role. And then that third piece, we kind of talk about it as the triangle. So we have education, we have enforcement. That third piece is that engineering piece. And that one's huge. How our roads are designed, you know, whether we have traffic control signals, you know, if a road is designed for vehicles to probably travel 45 miles an hour, but you're trying to say, oh, drive 15 on this. It's hard to expect traffic than to drive. So the way we design our communities is also very important.
To have an island between sometimes is and you know, again, none of that stuff's cheap, you know, but you got to lobby for it. And the easiest thing is just.
One of the more cheap options is the rapid rectangular flashing beacons. So for short, we call them RRFBs. And those are when you push the button and you see the yield signal start to light up.
Yeah.
Very cost effective and very, very high yielding rates to it. And then reduce crashes by a lot.
I got to say one thing, though. When you get the go signal for the walking, you're only about halfway past and it's almost like, hurry up. I mean, that's.
And that goes back to the engineering piece. Has that light been set up so that a person, and not even just a person like us that's able-bodied and has no problem, but let's say someone has a walker, someone's in a wheelchair, do they have enough time to cross?
Absolutely.
All right. You walk a little faster.
Mario Gonzalez, well, wonderful stuff, man. This has just been great. I've learned things from this. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
we'll be
Mario.
Back with Major General Dan Ammerman after this. But I'm as blue as a boy can be. Then I'm walking in
Memphis. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There's been a lot of folks in agriculture talking about the announced layoffs at Deer & Company. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Earlier this summer, Deer & Company announced that they were laying off more than 600 employees at three production plants in Illinois and Iowa, as well as an undisclosed number of salaried employees at the corporate level. Eric Sorensen is the congressman that represents Moline, Illinois. He said what disturbs him is now they're finding out these layoffs were not necessarily caused just by a struggling ag economy. Instead, he said he's finding out Deere's moving their manufacturing to Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there are challenges in the ag economy, but John Deere has been effective in making a profit for its shareholders. So looking forward, we have to understand that it is a profitable company. John Deere and Company is not going out of business, but we have to understand, is the future going to be here in Moline, Illinois? Is John Deere going to be American? Because those are the things that I want to make sure that we fight for before it's too late.
Congressman Eric Sorensen, who represents Moline, Illinois, he says when Deere & Company announced these layoffs, it doesn't just impact the families that are losing their jobs. He said there's also a lot of small suppliers that do business with Deere that are also being impacted. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Monday morning. Corn and beans still trending lower. Numbers are next.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost. Wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained 4.5 cents to $2.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at $1.95¾. AA butter stood still. This morning in Chicago, December corn is down a penny at $3.93¾. November beans are down 4 right now at $9.98½. September wheat currently a nickel lower, $5.37¾. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today. Highs near 81. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. For tonight, slight chance of a storm. Lows around 59. A sprinkle or a light shower on Tuesday. Otherwise, sunshine. 83 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, and we'll have highs in the mid-80s.
It's 57 at our studios.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app where we were being listened to in South Dakota and other places. That was really great to hear from Mike and some of those people. 56 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 60 in Oshkosh, getting up to 81 today. Mario Gonzalez from Wello. Man, fascinating, high energy, informative.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
He's a good guy.
Well, joining us right now, and this pretty much goes hand in hand with some of the things Mario was talking about safety, walking, and biking, and everything. Major General Daniel Ammerman joining us. Good morning, General.
Good morning.
Boy, you're involved with a great program here that we're going to talk about.
I am. I'm involved in Team 1 Mile, and Team 1 Mile, we're doing a... We're doing a 6-day, 700-mile bike ride across Wisconsin and bringing visibility to Camp Hometown Heroes, which is a camp for the children of fallen U.S. service members.
Which is such a fantastic organization.
It is. It helps hundreds of children throughout the U.S. that unfortunately have went through the loss of a parent or sibling, and they're able to attend a one-week camp in Grafton, Wisconsin, and help bring back some of that fun and laughter and happiness before they experience that traumatic grief of losing a parent or sibling.
You know, I spoke at the Gold Star Convention 1 year, and for the breakfast thing, it was all about the kids, same type of thing for them. And it's like, you know, Jim, when you look across, it's like every one of these kids suffered a horrific, tremendous loss. And it was the good and the bad part of it is so many of them were there. Do you know what I mean?
So
many.
Yeah, far too many.
Really, exactly. But the good part was, and it was almost like the program that the veteran amputee softball program put on a couple of weeks ago in Fond du Lac with these amputee kids. The good part is you got to show them they're not alone. They're not suffering. Right. They got, you know what I mean? There's something about that camaraderie of being just like veterans who got to war or whatever. There's a certain bond. Oh, yeah. I think that's really important.
And they live their story. You know, it's not like you're telling, a teacher who feels bad for you. But, I mean, someone who's experienced it is where you can really make that connection.
Right. And they can talk about it because they have a peer that's went through something similar. And sort of the amazing part of it is they, as they go through this process and attend the camp and see what it is, some of them, as they become a little bit older, but still children, they come back as camp counselors because they see how meaningful it was for them in terms of getting through that.
You can say to one of these kids, "Man, I know how you're feeling," but you probably don't. No. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless you've experienced that terrible thing.
Yeah,
I would agree.
So that's in Grafton, and that's a camp you hold annually?
Annually. They do several sessions, like 3 sessions, 1 week sessions. It's hundreds of kids that come in.
Really?
That's
sad.
It is.
Wow, that's pretty cool that you offer that.
Yeah.
Hey, and tell me, what's the connection now with the Team 1 Mile? The fundraising part of it?
Exactly. Well, Team 1 Mile is a separate organization. But what we're doing is bringing visibility to this, to Camp Hometown Heroes. It brings veterans and non-veterans together. Endurance athletes, former pro athletes, veterans, all together with a common purpose, build teamwork, inspire the overcoming of challenges. And of course, going biking 700 miles is quite a challenge.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, that's some pretty serious biking. Yeah.
Do you stay in the state?
Yes, in the state. So we're starting in the Milwaukee area, going out to Madison from there. Next day, heading out to La Crosse, then Eau Claire, then Stevens Point, Green Bay, and then back down to the Milwaukee area.
And can anyone, they have to be obviously in pretty good shape to
imagine
to look
what
like
my butt would feel like.
It's not Johnny and I aren't joining.
I got a bad seat to my bike that I can't.
Other than that, I'm sure you could do 700 miles.
Other than that.
Yeah, and as people from all over the country have come in to actually participate in this.
And how about, tell us about how you can sign up for that. This is coming up, right?
Right. So the team is put together already. Okay. What we're asking the community to do is come and participate in these events that we're having in each one of the cities. So it's more than just biking between the cities, but in each city we're having an event that has music, food, guest speakers. So it's a pretty neat event, and we'll actually be in Milwaukee on the 13th. We'll be at Hagermeister starting at 6 o'clock. So what ends up happening is we'll bike from Stevens Point into Green Bay, arrive in Green Bay probably about the 4:30, 5 o'clock time frame over at Nicolet Bank, who's one of our sponsors. And from there, at 6 o'clock.
Is Mike Daniels the president of Nicolet? And
yes, Eric, he is.
Are they both going to take part in the ride?
They're not going to take part in the ride.
Gee, that's a shocker, isn't it, Jim? Yeah, just, His bike must be down.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a tough ride. So you're going to meet at Nicolet and then just, whatever, walk down to Hagermeister
exactly.
And have a little...
Yeah.
Barbecue
exactly.
And party. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. And we have some music. We have.
I've heard there's a rumor that Don Mikowski might make an appearance.
Yes, Don Mikowski might make an appearance.
That's cool.
One of
He's
our
great.
Bikers that actually, Don Davey also.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. When is that again?
September 13th.
Okay, September 13th. And they can come down. They can also then probably make a donation. Thank you guys for what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, exactly. They'll be able to make a donation. Anybody wants to go out to Team 1 Mile, and one spelt out, team1mile.com, and you can make a donation. You can look at the schedule. You can learn more about Team Mile, learn more about Camp Hometown Heroes. And there really isn't a better cause than that.
No, right. No, I agree totally.
Tell me about the website. It's team. Is it the number one or the spell it out one?
Is it spell it out one.
Okay, so team, W-O-N-E, mile.com.
Correct.
All right, cool.
Correct.
And that's going to tell us everything that you're doing. And how many people have signed up for this?
Well, there's 20 riders, but then with a trip of that length, we also have a support team, you know, in case bikes break down.
Sure, right.
Make sure, you know, we get food and water along the way, that kind of thing. And then also we have... people that are helping set up these events in each one of these
right.
cities. And we got veterans groups involved in it. We got community leaders in each one of these cities. Also some future leaders, some ROTC members from each one of the cities.
Fun. Tell me about the camp in Grafton. Like, are people, if somebody's listening and their kid is still struggling?
Yeah. If somebody's listening, your kid's still struggling, go to Camp Hometown Heroes. It talks about how to register for the camp. In the dates and everything for that, and they can go ahead and do that. And you can also through that site, you can volunteer if you want to participate as a volunteer at the camp and help the children. You're welcome to go ahead and apply for that also.
Daniel, I have to ask you, in the books that I do and I've done them with in my last book, 50 Strong, I did, I think it was 5 Gold Star families, and kind of like pull back the curtain of what, you know, what the whole thing really like from start to finish. And to a person, they talked about when they saw that officer on their porch, their world changed forever. Did you ever have to be that guy?
I never did.
Whew. Yeah. They say that's the toughest job that there is in the military.
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
But boy, when you lose somebody like that, you talked about losing a family member. Yeah. And it's not only just the blood family members, but I've got guys who are still really, really struggling about losing friends.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, something like what you're doing to help alleviate some of the pain, right. Whether it's for a short time or just for the support, letting them know other people have experienced the exact same thing. I think this is huge, especially for the younger kids.
Yes, yes. And you see what they're, you go down to the camp and you see the children and their ability to interact with each other, plus have fun at the same time. You know, it's a camp that has... water sports. They can do some hiking. They can do some arts and crafts. They can do some climbing. They have a nice climbing tower there.
Fun.
And also group events, you know, volleyball, that kind of thing.
That's awesome.
And those support groups are so important in a lot of things in life.
Yes,
but I mean, I think this is great what you're doing. And I think what really speaks to the program is if they come back and want to be a volunteer or a counselor. Yeah, and that means you're really
no higher compliment.
Right, yeah. That says you're doing it right.
Yes. I would agree.
And again, I just want to make sure that people know, because I think there might be some people that should look into this.
Definitely.
Your kids struggle, and when somebody's struggling, it affects the whole family. It's not just the individuals. So, and that's at camphometownheroes.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Located in Grafton, Wisconsin.
Right.
In a great, great place to get to.
Right.
Easy to get to.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's phenomenal. Somebody like you has such an amazingly distinguished career, and you know that you want to help the kids know. Yeah. I mean, it could have been easy for you to be, I'm this, you know, retired major general and whatever.
That's a cool title.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, you want to take it down to the grassroots level, roll up your sleeves, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to having a lifetime of service, wanting to serve community, want to serve, you know, country, and I'm able to serve others and continue that.
I think that's awesome.
Is this a nationwide program, or is this a Wisconsin thing, or tell me how this got started?
So it got started by Mike Campbell a couple of years ago, and he did
We're going to be having on the air.
Yep.
Yes, and he participated in Team Race Across America, and he thought, you know, this is really great. You know, I bike with other non-professional cyclists, we bike across the U.S. And he thought, wouldn't it be neat if we did something that built that same sense of teamwork and brought veterans and non-veterans together? So last year he did this similar thing, but it was in Florida, and it was inspiring in terms of the veterans and non-veterans getting together, building that, you know, a sense of teamwork through the struggle of overcoming the challenge of going, you know, 600-700 miles on a bike over across, you know, same number of days. And so he thought, well, why not go ahead and step this up a level and bring it to Wisconsin? And by the way, Camp Hometown Heroes, you know, great organization. We can also bring some attention to that, bring some financial support and some visibility to Camp Hometown Heroes. And so that's how this was born. And then it grew also in terms of at each one of these cities having an event. So in Florida was basically going to a VFW or American Legion post and interacting with those veterans there. So it's sort of a step here in terms of opening it up to the public.
You know what I like best, Jim? Like we had the gentleman on last week, Operation Coffee.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, Marine vet, serious post-traumatic stress. Had some personal issues, alcoholism and different things like that. And what he's doing right now is he's devoting his life with a new business to help vets. Even if they just come there and sample the coffee and talk about it. You can have all these psychiatrists or whatever. I don't think there's anybody that gets through and breaks down barriers more than one vet to another vet to another vet.
Yes, yes.
And the same holds true with the kids, I think, is why you're doing this.
Yeah.
One kid to another kid to another kid.
Exactly. And for the cyclists, the veterans and non-veterans, I mean, you can't have more of a team building thing than being on the bike with other people for 6 days and biking those kind of miles. You're going to build a very close camaraderie, you know, build a team and also overcome a challenge that you wouldn't do on your own. You know, like I wouldn't get on a bicycle and go, you know, 700 miles over 6 days if it wasn't for an event like this.
Wow.
Good stuff.
I mean, this is like Johnny was saying, you know, you're a general. You could. Why did you pick this? Like, did you have, you don't have to get too personal, but did you know someone who lost a dad or a mom in the military, or you just got this passion? This is awesome what you're doing.
Well, I know, unfortunately, too many fallen service members. And of course, meet the families and children sometimes in that aspect. And so when I heard about the support of Team 1 Mile for Camp Hometown Heroes, I thought there can't be a better purpose in this. And I do other veteran support events, but this was more of a national level. And I thought it would be, you know, just a neat thing if I could help this camp and help these children.
Phenomenal.
It's great.
We're going to give that website out from now to the end. I want everybody to come down there that night. Can I switch gears for 1 minute?
Sure.
Our small houses.
Small houses, yes.
Rock and roll.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We're on the way. We got approval, working the permit piece of it, and going to break ground here pretty soon on Veterans First of Northeastern Wisconsin.
Fantastic.
And the Tiny Homes Project.
The work you guys, you and Gail and everybody put into that is just mind-boggling.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait to that first shovel. You know what, Jim? I think they need to get you up because you're the most ceremonial first scoop of dirt guy ever. He's got 14 gold shovels in his basement.
Okay, yeah.
In the garage.
Oh, the garage. There we go. I'm sorry. Garage. Oh, when you clean the garage,
you should see my garage. It's so clean. I love it. So anyway, thank you for doing this, General. This is awesome. We will, like Johnny said, this will be on our website. And team1mile.com, or we go to camphometownheroes.com.
Major General Correct. Daniel Ammerman, thank you not only what you thank did you. In uniform, but the great things you're doing out of uniform. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Great seeing you. We're going to set our break. Back after this.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Waiting for someone to tell you everything.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Host your private event at one of the most premier event spaces in downtown Green Bay. At Heights Pub and Parlor, we provide parties with an unforgettable experience by blending historic and modern elegance into one atmosphere. Enjoy our second-story parlor, where you'll experience superb service from a personal bartender and handcrafted meals by our kitchen. Plus, you can enjoy the third-story loft to relax and enjoy close company. Schedule your private event today, as 2024 events are filling out fast. Follow us on Facebook or head to heightsgb.com to find out how.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, we're going to the end of the line. Don't have to be ashamed of the car I drive.
The end of the line.
I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. Once again, another great guest right there, man. Daniel Ammerman, Major General retired. For the veteran salute, and we're going to be talking a lot more about that great bike. I'm sorry, it's full. I would have done that.
Okay.
If I had a gel seat.
I'll sign
seat,
you up for next year.
If I had a gel seat.
You know, but it, you know, look, this show, you know, 3 hours a day, but man, there's a lot of good stuff going on, isn't
yes,
there?
You're
I
mean, right.
You think about
just. That's what I like about this show, bringing these kind of things to the surface.
And that's what Sage wanted, you know, is like, what's going on in your community? And, you know, I don't know, this stuff, I don't know if this is going to be on TV or on TikTok, whatever people look at their news, but you listen to us and. There's always something going on that's of interest. You
and
know?
That was our goal, to
and
bring
you
it to
feel,
the people.
And, you know, even when I was back in the day, I just wanted people to feel good about their community. Whether they participated or not, I would rather they participate. But even if they didn't, just to feel good, like, okay, at least I know this is going on. I'm not going, but you know, we're supporting the veterans or we're doing something for safety crosswalks. You know, and I, you know, today we got a lot of good things going on. Now we got this Evergreen Theater thing coming up. That's going to be awesome. And the museum has this great display on how to make candy.
Awesome.
So I thought that would fit with us. So that's why that's
oh,
coming
fantastic.
On. So anyway, there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Neat. Very neat. But you know, another thing you were talking about, what I really love is someone like Daniel, who had a tremendous distinguished, I mean, I've never met a Major General before.
Right. Him. Yeah.
And again, they could just sort of rest on their laurels if they wanted to. Nope. I'm going to. Put on a t-shirt instead of my uniform and tear into things.
Right. You know, and there are a lot of, not a lot, are some great people like that. And the best example that I know, you know, personally was Leo Frigo. You know,
yeah.
The guy sold
Good
his
point.
Cheese company. And
then driving over to Paul's Pantry. Whatever,
I just started that.
Trunk full of.
That's right. Just yeah. Dumpster diving and just getting, it's amazing. And he could have, you know, gone to Florida like some people do. And that, God bless him for having the ability to do that. But. You know, like this general, he's just like, look, he could, and I don't know what drives them to do that. If they're grateful, if they, but it's just nice that we have people like him in the world that give back.
Well, you know what? I think there's a certain something, and not to get, you know, psychoanalyze this, but some people are just meant to serve in whatever way they need. You know what I mean? That's how other people sometimes want to just sit back, like we said, and just, you know, whatever. And some want to serve.
Yeah. There's people like, I'm done.
Yes.
And there's other people that, you know, even though I'm financially.
Some people like, I'm just getting started.
Even though I'm financially done, I've still got that servant attitude. And yeah, you're right. And I think there are a lot of those people. Of course, I know Green Bay the best, but I think there are a lot of people in this community that feel that way.
No question.
And it's great when you go to these events. And you know, even at community shelter, the new community shelter where I work, we just couldn't do it without the community. It's amazing how many people just. Then they don't have to do it. You know, they really want to do it. And
they're not making any money on
nope,
it, that's for sure.
No. So anyway, yeah, I think it's great that the general does that. And Yeah.
But what a great organ. Like I said, I can see it like it was yesterday, Jim, sitting at that breakfast thing where the guy was talking with the kids. And it's like, okay, open up your bags. Did I get you enough candy bars? And they're all like comparing and sharing. And then I went out with one of the events they were doing. And you know, I'll tell you another one like that. I'll tell you a guy, I don't know if he still does it after COVID, but Bill Schrader, former Packer wide receiver. He used to hold a camp for kids with cancer.
Yep.
Kids from all over the state. He would take them fishing on Lake Michigan. He would take them out to the reforestation camp with the obstacle course or whatever. What's the high walking? I was nervous up on that thing, to be honest with you.
No.
Then they ziplined.
That zipline's cool.
Yeah. And it's all these young kids. And I did a story on it. And the kids talking about, you know, how, you know, sometimes at school they felt like people were staring at them. And you come here. And it's like, wow, we're all the same.
Right.
It's the only time she said this. I've never forget this cute little girl. And man, I hope she, you know, turned out good. She says, this is the only time I feel like I'm with people that understand me.
Right.
She goes, there's lots of people that feel sorry for me, but this is the only group that understands me. And that was so poignant, I thought, for this 9-year-old girl to say something like that.
You know, those kids are from all different nationalities, black, white, male, female.
Economic structures.
Yeah, and
they all come together with that one common thing.
Yeah. So. I'm glad he's doing that. And that Grafton, I haven't been to that camp, but you know the other thing that's pretty cool, and I'm going to get him on here, is that burn camp too. You know, kids, that's very cool. And
I don't know much about that, but just even saying that is like, oh.
Well, that thing's awesome.
Poor kids.
That is a great camp. So, I mean, and parents got to look for this. And I think some parents, well, what am I going to do? You got to look for this. But there's a lot of support out there in Wisconsin and here in Green Bay.
I think this is fantastic. I mean, this is a great one. For helping out with causes.
It is.
Fantastic.
And we've had a lot of people on here that from autism to just many, many things that they can help. You know, the low income, there's just a lot of programs, but you got to look for them. And we're doing our best here to get the word out. But
whatever
on there.
We do. I guarantee I'll have an email today or text
today.
Yeah,
me too.
How can I help? How can I help? Mina, what do you need? How can I do? Yeah. Guaranteed.
No, people are great.
Guaranteed.
That,
so. People are fantastic. But it is just getting the word out is very, very important. And that can be a challenge at times for people because, you know, I hate to say it, but and we're going to get Scott Vensey on here one day. I so miss the old fashioned sports page and things like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember I'd read 4 papers a day, Milwaukee Journal, Milwaukee Sentinel, not the news part, but the sports. Journal, Sentinel, Press Gazette, actually Post Crescent and News Chronicle. Every day I'd have those 5 sports pages, and I knew everything there was to know about sports in the world. And I know it's that whole entity, that whole world of print journalism has been taken over, you know, electronically, but I just have not, maybe I was too old. I'm still not that guy to sit down at my computer and peruse the sites of things. No, I just don't.
You see what I brought in?
Yeah,
you're
still an old newspaper guy,
I am.
And that's why I used to love Bosses so much.
3-4 newspapers.
You'd go there and
I'd
buy the New York Times or something.
Yeah. I should know. I really don't know what it costs, but I just love getting the newspaper.
Me too.
And it gets delivered and guy's pretty punctual, you know.
But it was right in your face then. All those kind of things were just right there.
As much as we love advertisers, there's no commercials.
And now you just got to, it's like there's so much more communication, so much more state-of-the-art communication out there. But I feel I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I'm still old school and want my newspaper.
Yeah. And sometimes if you watch it on TV and you miss it, you missed it. Whereas if I read it in the newspaper, I can go back and read it again.
Oh, I used to keep stack. I would have a stack 3 feet high in my office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And use it for reference and everything like that. My goal in life was to be a newspaper reporter. It really was. I fell into TV like by accident. I think it's because I wasn't smart enough to be in journalism. So I could BS for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot of good things going on. People got to look for it a little bit, but listen to us. And, you know, we try our best. We got some great things coming up now. That Evergreen Theater, which I'm a big fan of.
I know.
It's Gizmo's group, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're going to be having an open house coming up down the road. We'll talk about that that we're invited to. Also, Beth Kowalski. You want to talk about another cool thing for our community? Neville Public Museum.
Oh, yeah. She's got a great display out there with how to make candy or the history of candy or something.
Can't
She'll tell
wait.
Us all about it. That's a good one.
All right. I'm going to set our break. Back after this. It's down to me. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. The change has come. She's...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom will be back. Harrison Walls will be done with their cross-country swing state tour. And we'll talk about it on the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
During life's most trying times, it helps to have someone with experience and understanding at your side. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory has attentive staff and a peer available 24 hours a day and nearly 100 years of business experience, which can provide comfort during those difficult times. Call them at 920-336-3171 or visit them at ryanfh.com. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory, local people serving local families since 1926.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Just released in the Uvalde, Texas school massacre, the city making public